Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Amen. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Her name has been lost to us, and so we know her only in describing her. And yet what she has to teach us is nothing short of what it means to be engaged in the life of faith, to be a witness, a disciple. What does it mean to have faith, to believe, to be a disciple? Interestingly enough, each of our four canonical gospels gives us a slightly different take on what that is. And of course, we now have two millennia of Christian history and theology to account for as well. One of my favorite takes on what it means to have faith actually starts with doubt. Roman Catholic nun Joan Chittister, in the book that she co-authored with Rowan Williams, called Uncommon Gratitude, Alleluia for All That Is, wrote about doubt in this way. Doubt is when you start putting down what others have told you to believe, and faith is when you start picking up what you believe. Doubt is when you start to put down what you've been told to believe, and faith is when you pick up what you do. In this way, doubt is not the opposite of faith, as it's often perceived. Instead, it is the catalyst that leads to engaging in this life of faith. It's an examination of what it is that we trust, and yes, ultimately, believe. This is a process of doubt and faith and doubt and faith that spirals on and on throughout our lives. And just saying that makes it sound exhausting. After all, shouldn't we just be able to arrive at the truth and be done with it? For better and for worse, that's simply not how it works. At its best, the life of doubt and faith is an ongoing dialogue between us and God and Scripture and tradition and the world around us. And because we change, our lives change. And the nature of that dialogue and what we take from it changes as well. There are times when it's more intense than others. I remember when I first returned to church as an adult and began reading the Bible again, and how difficult it was to move beyond the faith and belief of my childhood. How I had to begin to make meaning of these not very nice parts of Scripture that I had never read before, as well as make new meaning from well-beloved stories. It was hard, but it was exhilarating. Sometimes it's more passive. Little pieces click into place for us when we have conversations or hear someone share a bit of insight into a Scripture passage, or ask a well-pointed question. And then there are the times when what we believe is just knocked right out of our hands, because life is sometimes like that. And I mean this in both the really good and the really horrible ways. Those times that make us question everything we've been told and thought we knew and believed. I think that's what happened to this woman at the well. She was a Samaritan, and Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. The source of the enmity between them was a dispute about the correct location of the cultic place of worship. For Jews, it was in Jerusalem and the temple. For Samaritans, it was on Mount Gerizim. The break between these two groups is actually narrated in the second book of Kings, chapter 17, if you'd like to check it out. But their rivalry began around 300 BCE, when the Samaritans built a shrine to compete with the temple in Jerusalem. When they met, this was something that had been going on for centuries. So one day, this woman approaches the well to draw water. There she spies a Jewish man. She expects to be ignored, not only because she is a Samaritan, but because Jewish rabbis did not speak with women in public. But he spoke, asking her for water, for he was thirsty from his travels. And thus began what is the longest recorded conversation between Jesus and another person. And not only long, but full of theological depth. Jesus may have been thirsty from his dusty travel from Judea to Galilee, but the woman was thirsty for knowledge. She clearly understood and communicated to Jesus the societal norms and history that was standing between them. But as they spoke, doubt began to take hold. He didn't dismiss her questions, he engaged them. He offered her living water and a sign that she was fully known. And when she dug deeper, seeking clarity from this prophet about proper worship, actually challenging his authority over and against ancestors of her faith, Jesus answered her in such a way as to exemplify the claim that we heard last week in our gospel story. That story about Jesus' visit with Nicodemus that happens just prior to today's passage. You might recognize this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So that everyone who believes in him. In the face and presence of the Christ, those things she had been given to believe were knocked out of her hands, and she was left standing there with the one who proclaimed, "I am." New faith, new trust welled up within her, and she returned to town knowing that she must share her experience. "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" How often do we need others not to validate our experience and tell us what we already know to be true, but to share with them that which has touched us so deeply that we overflow with the experience. Whatever more she spoke was unrecorded, but it stirred the hearts of the people in her town, so that we do know that many Samaritans from that city believed because of this woman's testimony, and they followed her invitation to come and see. Upon seeing Jesus at the well, they asked him to stay. And I love this. The Greek word can not only be translated as stay, but also as abide. And so Jesus abided with them for 2 days, long enough for them to come to believe also that he was the Messiah. The woman who came to the well entered into dialogue with Jesus, with her doubt, faith, belief, and she came away changed. She witnessed and did the work of a disciple, and through this was invited into the work of the community that Jesus was forming. For as Jesus said to his disciples as they sat by that well, "Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." It was and is an acknowledgement that we are all connected generation from generation to the work of God's mission, bringing justice, reconciliation, and compassion into this world. I look out and I see some of you who I know have been here for over 50 years. And some of you have been here for less than a year. And some of you, this is your first time visiting today. Regardless, when we come here, we all join this cycle of one sows and another reaps. because this life that we are called into, this community we create, the vision and mission that we enact, they are the life of faith, always in dialogue and always evolving. We do this not just for ourselves, but for those who we know will come after us. This is not my goodbye sermon. We still have some months of ministry and worship together. But I have to say that I was reading the gospel this week, I had to be mindful of the work that I've been privileged to be a part of over the last 7.5 years here at All Souls. I think about all these things that were planted and that I got to reap, and then the things that we've harvested together, and these things that are being planted now that are gonna come to fruition in due time. It's the work of Lent to pay attention, slow down, pray, mind the crops, to be intentional about our engagement in this life of faith. It's also a season that takes us through endings and into new beginnings. So it's my prayer today that we, like this woman at the well, look up and around, engaging this life of doubt, faith, belief, wherever it is that we encounter it, deepening this relationship with God and each other, so that we can enter into the labor of community that changes and transforms the world. Amen.